All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Arasukas Pirkei Avos learning. Just a calendar reminder, there's no shiur next week on Chol Hamoed. So after today, we'll meet Be'ezer Hashem in 2 weeks. We shall be well. Shall be zecha to Azman Simcha on the Yom Tov of Simcha. Okay, we thank tonight's sponsor very, very much. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by our learning partner and friend, Shoshana Pollack. I would like to dedicate this shiur as a thanks to the Ribono Shel Olam for my husband's amazing recovery from knee surgery, Hodu Lashem Kitov, Baruch Rofei Cholim, and with deep appreciation for all the kindness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us daily. She also wants to express our gratitude to the Shir and all the ladies in the group for the high-level learning experience which she is zocha to be part of, which we are all zocha to be part of. And we thank Shoshana Pollack and her family very, very much, Tizku L'mitzvos U'L'mayisim Tovim, for sponsoring this Shir this evening. And Hashem should continue to grace you and your husband, the whole family, our Shir group, as you are so beautifully expressed, with only besuras tovos, simchas, refuas for those in need. So let us get right into our learning. If you remember, we were speaking about Emes, Shaker, and this middle ground of Chazav, Chaf, Zayin, Beis. What exactly is this? We spoke last time about the Shorashim, Lashon HaKodesh. I just want to add two nekudos. Shani Gerlitz reached out to me after last week's class, and she said two things that I found to be very interesting that I will start with in regard to Sheker. Really, we're going to talk about Chazav tonight, but Shani Gerlitz pointed out two things. One, Sheker is the same, Sheker means falsehood, lies, is the same letters as Kesher, which is a bond. Why is Sheker, lies, and falsehood the same letters as Kesher, which means when something is tied, Kuf, Shin, Resh? So she said, because a Sheker breaks apart a Kesher. It's beautiful, and it's very, very true. When there is Sheker present, there cannot be Kesher. If there is falsehood and lies and deceit in a relationship, the Kesher absolutely will be broken. So I thought that that was very beautiful. And the final thing that she also said, the second thing that she said, is which is obvious, but there's a reason for it. She pointed out something very nice. Sheker is the end letters of the Aleph Beis, Kuf, Resh, Shin. It's not Tav. I'm saying that because Tav is part of MS. But it's Kuf, Resh, Shin, but they're mixed up. They're not in order. Instead of it being Kuf, Resh, Shin, it's Shin, Kuf, Resh. Why? Because Sheker is something that mixes everything up. Kesher is not in order because Kesher is Kuf Shin Resh. It's also not in order. Somebody said that Kesher is in order, but it's actually not because it would be Kuf Resh Shin Tav. But going back to this second insight, the final osios of the Aleph Beis, however, it's out of order because Sheker is something that mixes everything up. So I thought that those were two very beautiful insights. Sheker is the same osios as Kesher because when there is Sheker, the bond, the ties that bring a person to another person will ultimately absolutely be broken, if not right now, then at some point in the future when the Sheker is revealed. And secondly, Sheker is the final letters of the Aleph Beis, except that they are in mixed up order, because Sheker is something that mixes everything up. The other thing I want to point out, where did I put my machzor? I have to go get my machzor with my stickies. 1 second. Sorry, I put it on the table by my desk where I prepare shir. This is not where I prepare shir, and I left the machzor there by mistake. I also noticed on Yom Kippur, I don't know if any of you noticed, we're part of the shir learning group, but I noticed on Yom Kippur that in the vidui, both in the short vidui and in the long vidui, we confess for this very sin. So, ashamnu, baganu, gazalnu, dibarnu, dofi, okay? Ya'atznu ra, we have given bad advice. Kizavnu. Did anyone else notice that it's in the vidui, of both the short and the long vidui after last week's class? I did. Ya'atznu ra, we have given bad advice. Kizavnu. So how is it translated? We have been deceitful. That's exactly what we're going to uncover. What is chazav and how does it apply to society and to our lives today? We actually clap on a chay for this. So that means we're all guilty of the sin of chazav. It's in the shor vidui, ashamnu, baganu, gazanu, libanu, dofi, avinu, v'yashanu, zanu, chamasnu, tofalnu, sheker. There's sheker, by the way. Ya'atznua, kizavlu. And in the long vidui, in the alchitz, in the second, Second section, la'achet shechatanu lefanecha bechapas shochad, and the sin that we sin before you with taking bribes. Wait, la'achet shechatanu lefanecha bechachash uvechazav. It's both in the short and the long vidui. The sin that we have sinned before you through denial and false promises. So at one point in the short vidui, it's translated here as we have been deceitful. And here it's as to denial and false promises. So clearly chazav is something, emes, we know what emes is. Sheker, now it doesn't mean we always tell the emes, and it doesn't mean we don't tell sometimes sheker, but at least we know what they are. The question is, what is this chazav? And we are clearly guilty of it, because everybody claps an achay for it, both in the short and the long vidui. So with that, we are now going to begin we really already began. We thank Shana Palak very much. We thank Shana Gerlitz for those two insights which she added. And we see that in the vidui of Yom Kippurim, this is a sin that we ourselves have to do vidui, have to do confession, and have to atone for. I'm going to begin by quoting the Gemara right at the end of Maseches Sota. So, right at the very, very end of Maseches Sota, okay, the final daf, the final amud, Sota 49b, Mentes Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us what is it going to be like the Yemos HaMashiach. Or I should say in the Ikvas of the Mashiach. Not in the days of Mashiach, that was an incorrect thing to say. The Ikvas of the Mashiach, and the time leading up to Mashiach, what will it be like in that time? So, it's extremely sobering and powerful to learn this, because it sounds to be such an apt description of the society in which we live. So here we go. Be'ikvos Mashiach, chutzpah yiske. You may have heard this, that in the time leading up to the coming of the Mashiach, insolence, chutzpah, insolence will increase. So that is very famous, that it will be more chutzpahdik, people will be more chutzpahdik. Rashi says, what does that mean? Be'ikvos Mashiach, besof hagalos, Lifnei Bias Mashiach. What time period are we speaking about? It says Rashi, Besof HaGalus, at the end of the Galus, says Rashi to Gemar, before Mashiach comes. So what will be in this time period? Where was I? Chutzpah Yiske. Chutzpah, it's translated by Eretz Gros, insolence will increase. V'yoker Ya'amir. Costs will soar. Inflation. Costs will soar. Hagafen Titen Piria, V'hayayin Biyoker. The vine will yield fruit, yet wine will be dear. What does that mean? The vine will give fruit, but wine will be dear. So Rashi says, "Va'yayin biyoker shahakol oskin b'mishas os." Everyone is so busy with parties and with drinking that even though there is a supply, the vines cannot keep up with the supply because everyone is so busy drinking and partying. And the Art Scroll footnote says, all will be engaged in drinking parties, quoting Rashi, so that even a plentiful supply of grapes will not suffice to fill the demand for wine. So there will be an increase of chutzpah and the days leading up to Mashiach, like Rashi says, Besof Hagalus Lufnei Bias Mashiach, costs will soar. The vine will yield fruit, but there will not be enough to meet the demand because everybody's going to be drinking and at parties. Umachus tahafeich leminus ve'ein tochachos. The government will turn to heresy, and there shall be no rebuke. What does that mean? Article footnote: the world's dominant power will aid the spread of non-belief. I don't know what it was like in other times. The Gilgal HaNeshama knows, but in this lifetime, I don't know what it was like in other times. But the description here of Chazal, of the Ikvas of the Mashiach, is a frightening picture of exactly what the times in which we live represent. Chutzpah will increase, costs will soar, the vine will yield its fruit, yet wine will be dear because of all the drinking parties. Malchus teafeich leminus. Governments will turn to heresy. The ein tochachos, there is no rebuke. No man will be able to reproach another. All men will not take reproach. When a sinner is admonished, he will simply say, "You are no better than I." Rashi says, "Ein lecha adam sheyuchal lehochiach." There's not going to be anyone who's going to be able to give tochacha. Shekulam nichshalim bechataos. Everyone is sinning and stumbling in sin. Ukishem ochichin omer lo ata kamoni. If you try and rebuke someone else, they say, "What do you think? You're better than me? You're just like me. You're a sinner also. So what are you telling me to be better for?" Beis vad yeliznus. The meeting places of the sages will be used for znus. Places where the sages used to meet will become places of debasement, promiscuity.
The Galil Yacharav, the Hagavlan Yisham, the Galil will be destroyed and the Gavlan will be desolate. So these are names of certain places on the borders of Eretz Yisrael. The Anshei HaGvul Yisobavu Meir Le'ir. The people who dwell in the borders will wander around from town to town. Article footnote, the borders will be attacked at various points, so the border towns will be driven out from town to town. Everything that the Gemara, that Chazal describe here, has an application in our world in a very, very, very real way. V'lo yichonenu, and no one will have mercy, no one will have compassion, no one will help those who are traveling from town to town. V'chachmo sofrim tisarach, and the wisdom of scribes like Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, when he describes the place he comes from, Meir Gadol shel Talmidei Chachamim v'shel Sofrim. Sofrim represents not only someone who's writing Sifrei Stam, but it's someone who has the kavanos of an Eved Hashem, it's someone who's a Talmid Chacham. V'chachmo sofrim tisarach, the wisdom of scribes will decay, it will rot. V'yirei chet yim asu, those who are God-fearing will be despised. Vaha'emes tehe ne'ederas, truth will be absent. And the article footnote says, it's a paraphrase from a pasuk in Yeshayahu, and Targum says, those who follow truth shall be forced to conceal themselves. People will be afraid to speak up. People will be afraid to say the truth. Maybe it's not politically correct anymore to say the truth, so how could I possibly speak the truth? Truth will be concealed. Maharsha says, truthful men will be compelled to flee the towns and live in small, secluded groups. Na'arim pnei zekeinim yalbinu, youth will embarrass the faces of the elders. Zekeinim ya'amdu mipnei katanim, elders will stand in the presence of the young ones instead of vice versa. This might not only mean literally stand in the presence of the young one, but might be afraid to speak up when the elders are afraid to speak up before the children. Well, again, what will be in the time of Ikvas de Mashiach? And like Rashi says, what is that? Bishov Hagalus Sufnei Bias Mashiach, at the end of the exile before the Messiah comes. What will be? Chutzpah Yiske, insolence will increase. The Yoker Ya'amir, the costs will soar. The vine will yield fruit, yet wine will be dear. There won't be enough wine because everyone's just drinking on parties and substance abuse. Umachus teafech laminus, kingdoms will turn to heresy. Ve'ein tochachos, there will be no rebuke. Beis vadi hialeznus, the place of the meeting place of the sages will become a place used for znus. V'ha'galil yachrav, please text me and be in touch with me. And drive safely. V'ha'galil yacharav, v'ha'gavon yisham, the Galil will be destroyed, the border town of Gavon will be desolated, people who dwell in the borders will be forced to flee from their homes, and there will not be mercy, there will not be assistance for them. The chachma of Sofrim will rot and decay, those who are yirei chet, those who are God-fearing, will be despised. V'ha'emes tehe ne'ederas, truth will be absent. Youths will embarrass the face of their elders. Elders will stand before the youth. The Gemara now quotes a pasuk from Micha. The pasuk said, the son derides his father. A daughter rises against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the people of his own household. So clearly, in the time of Mashiach, not only will society break down, but family units, Rachmana Letzlan, will also break down. The son derides his father, the daughter rises against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Man's enemies are the people of his household. Pnei hadar ke pnei hakalav, the face of the generation is like the face of a dog. Article footnote, they will be shameless. Just like a dog is shameless, the people of the generation will be shameless. Habein eno misbayish me aviv, a son is no longer embarrassed in front of his father. Va'alma or almi yesh lanu disharein al avinu shebashamayim. Upon what can we rely? Only upon our Father in heaven. Very, very powerful. Many of these elements are frighteningly prevalent, apparent, and widespread amongst the governments, amongst society, amongst things that we witness in our world.
I am going back to the article. Remember Itam Kobi? Remember last time I thought it was from July 2023, and then I said, oh my gosh, it was 7 Tammuz 5782. So we started it last time. If you missed part one, the shiur's on YU Torah, you can go back and listen to the beginning. What we are talking about is Kazav. MS, we understand, Aleph Mem Tav, first middle last of the Aleph base, Chos Moshal Kosh Baruch Hu, MS, okay? Sheker, we spoke about the shape of the letters, that it's teetering and tottering because Sheker will not stand. How does Chazav apply to our lives? What is the expression of Chazav? How does Chazav express itself? Particularly relevant considering that we are clapping on Chay for this on Yom Kippur. So what exactly are we clapping on Chay for? Remember, this is an article from 7 Thomas 5782. He's not talking about the Amim Noraim, or Vidu, or Teshuvah. But it really struck me since we had Shir last Thursday night, and then Yom Kippur was, Sunday night was Kol Nidre, and I said, oh my gosh, it's right here. Is there, remember Chazav, the outer and the two outer letters are on a firm base. This is important before we go further. Remember the two outer letters, Chazav, Chaf, Zayin, base, are on a firm base, but the Zayin is teetering. The outside looks like it's amestic and firm, but the inside shows you it is very precarious with nothing to stand on. Eitan Kobi writes, is there a contemporary relevance to the distinction between sheker, which is outright falsehood, and sheker, which breaks the kesher, and chazav, which makes itself look kosher on the outside, but it's really decrepit on the inside? And again, I told you last time, it reminds me of the chazir, who sticks out his split hoofs to say, look how kosher I am, but inside he is tummy. According to the Gemara, he quotes this Gemara that we looked at, a salient feature of the era known as Ikvasa de Mashiach, which is the last stage of the pre-Messianic era, is that ha'emes tehena ederas, truth will vanish. We might assume, does this come about through a predominance of sheker? When Chazal say that truth will vanish in the ikvus of the Mashiach, does that mean that it'll just be a world full of sheker? Everyone will be going around telling blatant lies? Is that what's going to be happening in the time of Mashiach and the time preceding Mashiach? But even the existence of unvarnished falsehood cannot make emes disappear. What can make emes, or what attempts to make emes disappear? Chazav, though, is different. It is a patina, a shell, a lacquer. What's it called when wood, a veneer, a finish of decency, but it masks the lie that lays within. Chazav uses truth to shield falsehood, thereby giving it a way to endure that it otherwise never could have. It uses truth to shield the worst falsehood. I'm going to use a very drastic example. This does not apply to any of us, nor to the al-chayt that we clap, but it reminds me of when Hamas sends missiles or bombs or rockets from schools, from hospitals, from nurseries, from residential homes. They are using MS to conceal the most rotten sheker. They're saying to the UN, this is just a school. This is a nursery. This is an educational institution. The external may look like there is MS there. But internally, again, I'm not comparing this to any of us or what we clap in Achei for, but that's what this idea reminds me of. That truth is used to shield falsehood, giving falsehood a way to endure when otherwise it would never have endured. The chazav needs that veneer of emes in order to endure. When lines between truth, emes, and falsehood, sheker, are blurred, chazav confuses. Chazav provokes doubt. It raises lingering questions. We see external piety, or the world sees external piety, and we start to wonder, maybe that piety is real. And if not, perhaps it's useful. Perhaps external piety is better than nothing at all. Most dangerous of all, exposure to chazav can foster a toxic, spiritually deadening attitude of cynicism. exposure, I'm going to say certainly prolonged exposure to chazav, can foster a toxic, spiritually deadening, leads to spiritual death, attitude of cynicism. Could it be that the absence of emes and the ikvus of the Mashiach is not because of sheker, but because of the more sinister, malicious chazav? Perhaps this is what Rav Dessler, Eitan Kobi continues, intended in writing that the generation of ikvus of the Mashiach, Rav Dessler writes that in the ikvus of the Mashiach, the generation will be a dor chitzoni, an externally focused generation. One aspect of this spiritual diagnosis is the focus on body, guf, over soul, neshama, the focus of gashmias over ruchnias, the temporal over the eternal. Eitan Kobi is now starting to transition into how does chazav express itself in our generation? There are perhaps many answers. There probably are many answers and interpretations. I found this one to be very powerful. And I think that he's really giving all of us Musar. And if there's something we cop an archei for, and everyone cops an archei, then it's something we all have to consider. I actually just said to one of my children the other day, can I give you Musar? So I know you're going to say, I should just say, I'm giving you Musar, whatever. Okay, I'm not going to go into any details. Just like, can I give you Musar? So the child said, please. The child said, today everyone's afraid. He wasn't talking. Everyone's afraid to give Musar. Give me Musar every day. Eitan Kobi, with this explanation of chazav, is really going to give us all Musar. Sometimes Musar makes us feel uncomfortable, because we don't like to think that it's me, it doesn't apply to us. But actually, chizavnu. Achit shechatanu lefanecha bechachash vechazav. Rav Dessler writes in the ikvus of the Mashiach, we will be a dor chitzoni. We will be focused on the external over the internal. The manifestation of this kind of chitzonius are all about us. And the intoxicating affluence, that brings in its wake a frenzied pursuit of every fleeting, shallow pleasure. If you think that's extreme, I don't know if anybody saw the YU Torah to Go Tishrei, YU's publication before the Yemim Tovim. It's completely about materialism in the Jewish community. If you didn't see it, it's available on YU Torah. It's available in many shows. It's addressing this very idea. The manifestations of this kind of chitzonius are all around us, and the intoxicating affluence that brings in its wake a frenzied pursuit of every fleeting, shallow pleasure. In the make-believe world of social media, in the outsized influence that media and marketing wield over us, and their appeal to the sensual over the substantive. But ador chitzoni, an external-focused generation, can also describe a generation in which even spiritual experiences become hollowed out, hollow. Remember, chazav is something that has emes on the outside. It's not only emes, it's not only sheker. It has a patina, a veneer, a cover of emes, but inside it's rotten. A dor chitzoni, perhaps, which Rav Dessler explains, also means a generation when our spiritual experiences become hollowed out. And there's an inordinate amount of attention paid to appearances at the expense of substance. This kind of chitzonis where we walk the walk and talk the talk, but emptiness is masked within, is the very definition of chazav. Someone just reached out to me. I'm not going to quote a verbatim, not just. Recently someone reached out to me about a certain situation with a certain person. Not particularly a young person. Well, it depends how you define age, but I don't mean a teenager or someone in their 20s. And this person was very disillusioned with Judaism. By the way, it's totally anonymous, and unfortunately it could be many people. Because when they were growing up, they found that there was a fakeness, a lack of authenticity, a opposing forces between what they saw in home and what they saw in the school. And they became very disillusioned with Judaism, because everything was, someone just reached out to me to tell me this. Whatever, they were asking me a certain question about something. But this is a real thing. This really happens. When we live a life of chazav, the results are disastrous, not only for ourselves, but for our children and our talmidim as well. Yes, they know when we're telling sheker, for sure. But they also sense when we're living lives where the external is MS, but the internal is rotten. They know very well if we mean what we say and say what we mean, or if what we say and what we mean are two different things entirely. And it has long-term effects. This kind of chitzonis where we walk the talk and talk the talk, but it masks an emptiness within, is the very definition of chazav. The topic of how and why chitzonis, the external focus, infiltrates our spiritual lives is a large and important topic. But I want to mention, says Eitan Kobi, just one of the lesser contemporary manifestations. I'm not sure if it's so lesser, but that's what he calls it. This is very interesting. Again, Mr. sometimes makes us feel uncomfortable. And our first defense against Mussar is to be defensive. So let's just think open-minded. Obviously, if I'm choosing to teach this piece over two classes, bringing other sources, and I think that it's important, otherwise I wouldn't be teaching it over. I think it carries a message for all of us. We may not like it, but we need to listen. We have an obsession to record everything for supposed posterity. And this somehow turns occasions that ought to be high points of pnimius, moments of internal elevation, into something false. We have an obsession in our society, he's talking about the frum Welt, to record everything for supposed posterity. And subtly this turns occasions that ought to be high points of pnimius, moments of internal elevation, into something else. If you recall, a number of years ago, which I remember I mentioned in a shir, there was a gathering in Chicago of Rabbanim about the dangers of technology. And two things spurred it on. I know we're all listening to the shir on Zoom, and many of you are using your phone, which I'm using as a recorder. I'm not sitting here and saying, you know, go put in the garbage or the fish tank. I'm not planning to do it. We just have to think and be aware of how we live our lives in terms of all aspects of how we live our lives. And this aspect of chazav, and does it infiltrate into our personal, private, home, societal lives. So there was a gathering of Rabbanim in Chicago. They were doing some sort of a sefer awareness in their community about the dangers of technology. Two things were the impetus for the Rabbanim to gather. The first one I don't remember. Does anyone remember the second one? I said a number of years ago. A kala from the yichud room took a selfie of her and her chassan, and she posted it, I don't know where. That's a true story. That's obviously a very big problem. And it's taking something that's supposed to be very elevated, very kadosh, very much pnimius. Karaya mikudasha vi, marriage is defined as kedusha. And removing any intimate privacy by broadcasting this experience to the whole world. It robs the young bar mitzvah boy at the shtender of a certain innocence. It deprives him of his ability to just be fully in the moment instead of performing for others. It puts the imprint of the Os Bris Kodesh on the new neshama into a little box labeled event, to be shared on social media, along with all the others that have zero spiritual significance. Instead of turning dirt into gold, it takes priceless moments of eternity and turns them into something trivial and fleeting. I mentioned that I was listening to a shir last week by Rabbi Daniel Glatstein. It's a shir in Teshuvah. Center's Teshuvah shir, I think it's called. Anyway, he was also discussing technology use on phones. And he said, I don't know the Bechem he was speaking to, 5 minutes of Torah learning without your phone. I'm not talking about if you're zooming into a shir. I mean if you're learning Torah and answering text messages, learning Torah and checking status, learning Torah and on social media, learning Torah and liking the page on Facebook. 5 minutes of Torah learning, says Rabbi Daniel Glatstein, without your phone is better than 20 minutes, 40 minutes, 60 minutes with your phone. Because those 5 minutes are priceless when there's a real kesher. And like Shani said, we have to choose between kesher and sheker. And chazav is an external display of MS. We're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're all at a simcha, we could all be dressed beautifully, and sanua, and everything's al pi halacha, but nobody's actually involved in the simcha. It's empty, it's hollow, because we're all involved in something else. But the cameras that are rolling are only a symptom. You know, I remember one of my kids told me a number of years ago, you know when you go to like the Aleph Beis plays, wait, that doesn't sound, Aleph Beis production, the Chumash party or the Siddur party. And I remember one of my kids said to me a few years ago, they say, you know, it looks much better in real time than through the recorder. But everyone's really just holding up a phone right now. Some of you who are kindergarten moes, you might know what we mean. Now, yes, do we want pictures? Yes. Do we want video clips? Yes. Should we be more present in the moment and let MS permeate? Yes. You know, there's something very interesting. In the Sefer Great Jewish Wisdom, this is one of Rabbi Bamberger's many svarim. It's called Great Jewish Wisdom. It quotes from a Rabbi Yehuda Mascato. Rabbi Yehuda Mascato was Italian. He was a great rabbinic leader, a poet, and philosopher. He lived in the 1500s. Listen what he said in the 1500s. If a person would be able to ascend to heaven and behold the heavenly bodies with all their precision and perfection, his enjoyment would not be complete until he returned to earth and described to his friends the amazing wonders that he witnessed. Rabbi Yehuda Mascato. I remember when I looked through this book a long time ago when we first got it. That really, what is this? Copyright 2014. I didn't read it that long ago, but some time ago. This, more than any other saying in this small Sefer collection of great Jewish sayings, wisdom, really stuck in my mind. This is describing the symptom today in society where we cannot just enjoy being in the moment because everything needs to be shared. Literally, everything needs to be shared. Listen, this is from the 1500s. Rabbi Yehuda Mascato, Italian great rabbinic leader, poet, and philosopher. If a person would be able to ascend to heaven and behold the heavenly bodies with all their precision and perfection, his enjoyment would not be complete until he returned to earth and described to his friends the amazing wonders that he witnessed. Why can't our joy be complete between us and Kosh Baruch, between us and the intimate people in our family, between us and the person we're experiencing it with? Why do we need to share it with the whole world? I heard Rabbi Shai Shechter say a few weeks ago, I was listening to Shir, and he says, I like to check status. He says, I'm part of the generation. I just like to know what's going on. I check status. I don't remember, but the Shir is called Zanwayu Torah, so everyone could go hear this. He says, why are people posting pictures on status of their kids' luggage all over the living room when the child comes home from camp? He said, does the whole world need to know that the luggage is all over the living room when you come from camp? Why are you posting that? Is that useful? Is that productive information? So we have a problem. The problem is not that we don't know what emes is and we don't know what sheker is, and sometimes we don't know what emes and we don't know what sheker is. But sometimes the sheker hides between emes and we don't even realize that it's sheker anymore. That's chazav. We're so confused by society. We're so drawn in by the norms of the world around us. We don't even know what's right and what's wrong anymore. We're so immune sometimes We have an immunity sometimes to true kedusha. The Rabbanim in Chicago at that Surah Nasifa gathered because a call from a yichud room posted a selfie of her and her chassan. The cameras rolling are really only a symptom, says Eitan Kobri. The real issue is whether we appreciate the deeper significance of what's taking place at a simcha and whether we are tapping into its awesome power. Yes, we want pictures of a simcha, please. I'm not saying you shouldn't hire a photographer. I'm not saying you shouldn't take a few pictures, but the whole simcha is seen through the lens of a fake world. Are we live streaming events while we are enjoying them? What are we doing? It's quoted in many places. It's relevant to Chag HaSukkos. Hillel, the great Hillel, let's say, by the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, and the Gemara tells us, Im ani kan tzmasech ha-sukkah. Im ani kan o'kol kan. Im ein ani kan, ein o'kol kan. Hillel was a Baal Gaiva, the great Hillel. No, Hillel was very humble. Hillel said, better you should lose 400 zuz and 400 zuz, and Hillel won't get angry. Shabbos 31a. Hillel said, Im ani kan o'kol kan. Hillel was no chalin va'aluvin. Eruvin 13b. Halacha kebeis Hillel. Hillel says, Im ani kan o'kol kan. Hillel said, and whoever never saw Simchas Beis HaShoeva in his life, never saw Simcha in his life. I've told this to you before. Im ani kan, if I'm present, ha'kol kan, I'm going to be totally present. Im ein ani kan, ein ha'kol kan. If I'm not totally present, then I'm not here at all. Why? Listen to what Eitan Kobri says next. Why do we rarely see phones held high at a levaya recording the Hespedim? May we continue to be spared such a phenomenon. Why don't people want to record those too? Perhaps it's because that's beyond the pale. A levaya is the real thing. We're escorting the neshama into the next world. As we sit there, we know, as one might say in Yiddish, es spilt zach mit nitzchios, we're dealing with eternity. And at that moment, we all have a rude awakening. There's no room anymore for the falseness by which we sometimes live our lives. Our simchas too, says Eitan Kobri, are occasions of ultimate seriousness, albeit overlapping the simultaneous feelings of unrestrained joy. So interesting, because it really does relate to Chag HaSukkos, which is known as Man Simchasenu. Not only is it not a contradiction, but one flows from the other. The simcha, our Jewish simcha is ultimately serious. Take a bris milah, for example. It's one of the most serious simchas we have. On the one hand, it's very serious. On the other hand, it's intense joy. This is not a contradiction. One flows from the other. Take a Jewish wedding. Does its greatness lie in flowers, in the finery, in the food, or in the fiddles? Non-Jewish weddings have those too, sometimes better. They also have flowers, finery, food, and music. It's that there's a binyan ad-de-ad, an internal structure being built at that very moment. Heard Rabbi Shai Shechter give the mashal. People come to a wedding, and they enjoy the shmork, and the food, and the music, and they get dressed up, and it's beautiful, and it's fancy, and the flowers. And something, they look at each other and they say, if I'm saying a little bit wrong, it's not Rabbi Shach who said it wrong, it's just I may not remember all the details. Why are we all here? What are we celebrating? They say, I don't know, there was some good food. They told us to get dressed, so we all came here. What do you mean, what are you celebrating? Where's the Chasan Kala? Is there anything pnimius happening here? If there's no Chasan Kala, what's the point of the celebration? That's why we have to look at our lives. The Nimshel is being the Chasan Kala, is us and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's so apropos for Chag HaSukkos, when we leave our permanent dwelling and we go into the sukkah. Noi sukkah, it should be beautiful. I just said the Oyu Halach Yomis today was very interesting. Decorations that hang from the schach are more kadosh than decorations from the walls, since the schach is more kadosh. But we should see a kadosh baruch Hu in the sukkah. We should focus on the pnimius. Chazav is when we live lives of external emes, but inside the Zion is teetering. It's hollow. We're about to fall over because there's nothing there. God forbid. And it's the Yetzer Hara. He works very hard to make sure that he undermines all of our efforts. It's a constant battle. We have to make sure we're living lives where the pnimius is as strong, if not stronger, than the chitzonius, which it fortifies. Finishes Eitan Kobri, at such times of exquisite opportunity, shouldn't we strive to keep our eyes on eternity? At times of exquisite opportunity, shouldn't we strive to keep our eyes on eternity? To savor the joy for the right reasons, in a word, we must strive to keep it real. Yemeni Khan said Hillel, of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva HaKol Khan. If I'm going to be present, I'm going to be entirely present. My external, my internal, I'm going to focus, I'm going to pay attention. I'm not going to pay attention to what was just posted online. It just came through on WhatsApp. It was on Instagram, the newest video release, I don't know. I'm going to pay attention to the people sitting before me. Last year, I thought, I think it was last year, maybe the year before. Just, it's an idea. If you like it, good. If you don't like it, fine. So I'm not taking my phone into the sukkah. Obviously, I'm not speaking about the days of Yomim Tovim. I'm talking about Chol HaMoed. My phone does not belong in the sukkah. We had a couch in the sukkah. We spent a nice amount of time there, Baruch Hashem. It's not coming into the sukkah. I'm not talking about if you have an emergency. I remember when I was waiting for the doctor and I told the kids, I apologize, but I need to have it here in case. So I'm not talking about those times. But we have to try very hard to make sure that the internal is MS, the external is MS. Sheker, we know. But that we are not, chas v'shalom, living lives of chazav. Where there's an external gloss of Judaism, but a hollow emptiness inside. And not only is it poisonous for our own neshamas, but the coming generations know very well when we live such lives. And the ikvus of the Mashiach, there will be many, many deteriorations in society. One of them will be ha'emes tehena ederes. The truth will be absent. Perhaps, based on Rabbi Saul Salanter, doesn't only mean we'll be living in a time of sheker. It means we'll be living in a time of chazav. Some food for thought. Some musar. I've quoted many sources. Rabbi Bamberger, who quotes the Rav from 1500s in Italy. Rabbi Gladstein. Hillel. Mordechai Schechter, Eitan Kobri, the Gemara, not in order of any particular order. And Musar is definitely hard to hear. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Umalchus teafech leminus ve'in tochachos." There is no one who can take or give tochach anymore. When someone gives tochach, says Rashi, "Ein lecha adam sheyuchal leochiach." Shakulam nichshalim bechatos. Because mochichin omar lo atakamoni. But part of being life of a Torah Yiddish, shma b'ni musar avicha. Al titosh tosi mecha. Everyone has to think of this idea of chazav. Because who claps an achit for it? Everybody. In the short vidui and the long. So we're all guilty. How does this apply to our lives? And as we move into Chag HaSukkos, man sibchasenu, how can we ensure that our simchas are true simchas? With our families, with our guests, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And now, God forbid, living behind a veneer of MS with Chalila Sheker at the core. There is no shir next week of Chol HaMoed. I wish you all gevaldik, uplifting, beautiful Chag Sukkos Sameach. We thank Shoshana Palak very much, who is dedicating this year with thanks to the Ribono Shel Olam for her husband's amazing recovery from his knee surgery, as well as with deep hakaras hatov to Kosh Baruch Hu for all the kindness he bestows upon her and her family, Kein Yerbu. She also expresses her gratitude to our Shir group for a high-level learning experience. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zochah to continue. I wish everybody a beautiful, a samach to bechagacha, Aisa Ach Sameach. Thank you so much. We resume in 2 weeks. Be'ezrat Hashem, Kol Tov.